So as a church, we have a three-word missional motto, a phrase that tries to keep us on track for what we're trying to be all about. Anybody know what it is? I hear, love like Jesus. Anybody know what it is? Yeah, you might have seen that somewhere, maybe on a wristband, maybe on a hillside. Lord, send me a sign. Here's a big one. Anyways, just to let us remind us why we like this phrase and why we like this reminder of what we're all about. Who here would say the world would be better if more people loved like Jesus? Almost every hand, not everybody is entirely certain, but I'm pretty sure I know some of you aren't going to put your hand up because like this is the pastor talking, it's probably a trap. Not really, not today, not yet. Anyways, but most of us would think, okay, yeah, it's good. It would be good if more people loved like Jesus. There'd be more grace, there'd be more trust, there'd be more truth, there'd be more transparency, there'd be more honesty, there'd be more compassion. If my neighbor's dog does his business in my yard, he'd come and clean it up. I mean, if more people loved like Jesus, things would get better, right? Yes. Right, yes, okay. Second one, this one isn't a trap either, but it's a little harder. Who here would say, my life would be better if I loved more like Jesus? Okay. Hands are going up, but we're a little less certain because now we're thinking, oops, now maybe I need to change. It's great if Bob changes to become more like loving like Jesus, because then he's just going to treat me better. But what if I have to treat him better? That's harder. That's much harder than... Anyways, so the next 5 weeks, we're going to go from sort of this great but sometimes vague term of what's it mean to love like Jesus and get down to things that are more specific. So like, what does it mean to love like Jesus? How do we love like Jesus? And also, maybe more importantly, where do we start? So we're going to do a deep dive into a passage where Jesus talks about what it means to be in his love and to show his love. So we're going to be in John chapter 15 for the next 5 weeks with some other passages involved as well, but going a really deep dive into a really rich, incredibly powerful passage. So I invite you to open up your Bibles if you've got your paper Bibles with you, or you can open up your fake Bibles on your phones, the little app thing, and if you put up find other events, you can find the event, you can find it, and you can follow along, and that's great. But I want you to see it. I want you to read it. And speaking of which, where Dave's going to come up, and he's going to read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 9 for us. And one of the things that we like to do here is as God's word is being read, we like to stand, both because it shows respect for the word of God, but also because it's a way of sort of being especially attentive. Because, you know, whether I have anything good to say to you today or not, God has something amazing to say to you. And chances are it's gonna come through his word. So as we're standing and hearing God's word, on some level, I'm inviting you to even just to be praying. Say, Lord, would you speak to me? Would you talk to me today? Would you help me to hear what you want me to hear from your word? So thanks, Dave, for reading.
John 15, 1 through 9. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. For as the Lord has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love.
Amen. Well, please have a seat. So there are three big words that I want us to be especially attentive to today in that passage, though there's a lot of things that could be said. The first word is pruning. Say with me, pruning. Okay. Second word is remaining. And the third word is fruitful. Because there's a concept here that's a bit of a difficult concept, or especially as we dive deep in, I think we're going to find it a challenging concept. This idea that pruning plus remaining leads to fruitful. Now, all of us want our lives to be fruitful. We want our lives to be effective and productive. We want to have a life with character that makes a difference, right? We want to know that our lives are leaving some sort of legacy that we've got. There's something about us that's making a lasting difference in the world around us, right? That's kind of why you're here, right? And so pruning, plus, so we're gonna dive into all three of those concepts deeper today. So let's start with pruning. So, because that's what we see in the first two verses here. So would you read with me? Verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he, and there's our word of the day, what's that? Prunes. He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Fruitful. Okay, so who here has a garden? And in the last couple weeks, you've done some pruning, right? Done some pruning. Now, okay, so we have some fruit trees in our backyard. Well, two of them, and we've been working on finding out how to make them live a long time. We're getting better at it, and our plum tree is especially getting bigger. So we did some pruning. Now, when you prune your plant, so whether it's a grapevine or whether that's a fruit tree or a flowering tree or something like that, do you prune it because you hate it or because you love it? Right, because the plants you hate, you don't prune them. You just rip them out or get a stick of dynamite and blow them up or get a backhoe and pull them out or something. You get rid of those plants. But the ones that you love, you prune. You prune. So I've been having to learn about pruning. Now, some of you are orchardists and you're like expert level pruning. I'm like pruning 101. So I'm going to start at the dummy level that I understand. But there's some really powerful concepts. And if you get into one of our connection groups this week, pray that you sit next to an orchardist because they're going to have a lot to say that I believe God's going to speak to you in a powerful way. Okay, so here's pruning. The tree on the left would be before pruning. The tree on the right is after pruning. Duh. Excellent. Because the pruning involves taking branches off, but not just any branches. I've been learning some stuff, and we can learn this together. It's great. So if you're pruning a tree, some of you already know this, but if you're pruning a tree, it's about taking off the dead wood and all the diseased branches. And now, this passage is saying, my Father is the gardener, and you all and me all, we're all branches. Some branches he cuts off. There are areas of our life that loving pruning will cut off. There's diseased areas of our lives. There's dead wood in your life. Now poke your neighbor and say, dead wood. There are things that we do that aren't life-giving, that pull us away from God, that sap us of soul, there's dead wood. And God the Father, the loving gardener, is pruning. That's not the only reason why we prune. Sometimes we prune because there's interior branches. There's branches that only grow inward and not outward. And it's outward that the branches get exposed to the sun. The branches that grow inward just clog things up and keep the other branches from experiencing the sun. That would preach, wouldn't it? How often do we find ourselves in our life having those branches, those parts of life that just turn inward, that aren't exposed to the sunlight. They just turn inward, and they might even block off the sunlight to other parts of our life. It's all about me and what I want. We have branches in our hearts and our lives that turn inward, don't we? We also have branches that are the other kind of pruning branches. We take branches that they're the rubbing branches, the branches that cross other branches, the branches of just unnecessary conflict, perhaps. The branches that hurt other branches. So parts in our life that hurt other parts of our life, or that hurt other people in our life, causing unnecessary conflict, keeping other branches from being healthy. And God, the loving gardener, is pruning those branches. There are branches that are called suckers. Yeah, that'll speak, won't it? How many times have you been a sucker? Where we look, suckers are branches of fast growth. Not strong growth, mind you, just fast growth. Lots of them. Suckers. How many times have you fallen for? Or maybe you know somebody. Don't look around. Just think, you know. But if, the get rich quick, the easy, simple solutions. Or the times where maybe life has gotten too big too fast. Grown too fast. You know, I think of almost any child that went through the Disney entertainment machine. You know, they started off pretty good, then they hit the late teen years. You go, oh, Miley, oh, no, Lindsay, no, don't do it. You know, and just too much too fast. You shouldn't be a millionaire when you're 13 years old. You're not making good decisions. You get too much too fast. And God, the scripture's saying, God prunes those kinds of branches, not because he hates us, because he loves us. You know, or you see maybe businesses that get too big too quick and then they just can't sustain the growth, or ministries that get too big too fast and they just can't sustain the growth. And now, as far as we know, plants don't feel pain. Actually, the science, best science tells us they don't feel pain at all. They just respond. But I know that people do. And that's why pruning is so difficult, because it's not like you're like a vine. You're like a branch, but you're not a vine. You're not a branch. When pruning happens, it hurts. And it feels sometimes like opportunity missed, or possibility unrealized, or capacity lost. How come I can't do that anymore? How come that didn't work? And it hurts. Pruning, for us, it's painful. But what this passage reminds us of is that pruning is absolutely necessary. And maybe today. Now, when pain comes into our life, not every pain is something we say, oh yeah, God's causing that. No, sometimes our world is just broken. So there's accidents and diseases and crimes that God did not intend. But God does allow things into our life. And there's nothing that God allows that he cannot redeem somehow. And maybe this metaphor of pruning can help us to look at things differently, that when pain comes into our life through any of those ways, or maybe even more, that it's not because God hates us, it's because he loves us. And that somehow in the midst of that pruning, God's doing something that's ultimately ultimately good. Now, some of that pruning happens to us. I mean, life prunes us. And the passage tells us that God the Father is ultimately pruning us. We're also reminded that some of the pruning happens because we're listening to the voice of Jesus. I don't know if you caught that in verse 3 or not, but it says, some of you are already cleaned or pruned. The Greek word there for cleaning and pruning, it's the same word. You're already clean. You're already being pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. And so often in our world, we kind of celebrate doing lots and lots of things at once, like multitasking. I want you to think about multitasking in a new way today. Multitasking means doing a whole lot of things badly, right? I mean, even the science tells us that we can't act. Now, some people are better at going from one task to another, to another, to another quickly. Some people are better at doing that, but none of us actually multitask. None of us do. And so part of what I wonder if God might be speaking to us today, and this is what I'd like you to consider, and here's where I'd like you to actually take out the blank piece of paper that's in your bulletin and your pen. And here's what I'd invite you to do with that. There's a slight bit of irony that I'm asking you to do something that actually has to do with stop doing things. Many of us have to-do lists. Anybody else a list maker? All right. Yeah. Well, there's a kind of list that we don't make enough that perhaps is also part of that pruning. I think one of the things this passage reminds us of is that God also calls us to have stop-doing lists. Because you think about it, every time you say yes to something, on some level, you're saying no to something else. Say yes to be at another evening event, that's saying no to another night at home. You say yes to another responsibility, so you take that on some level, that's saying, well, no to at least giving as much time to some of the other responsibilities that you may already have. So part of what pruning may be is also, you know, God's work of focusing us. And so I invite you to make a bit of a list like that and just see today if that's what God's talking to you about, of doing less in order to do more, of tackling a more narrow scope of issues than just one. I don't know if you've noticed this. Maybe you see this on Facebook or any other kinds of social media. Do you have a friend that they're about like every issue? Like, so one day it's abortion. Another day it's the environment. Next day it's politics. Next day it's oil. I mean, just different things all over the place. And they go from one to another to another. And you see that just one to another and post about this and this and this and this and this. And all you know is, well, they seem really angry. Now, they're posting about a lot of different things, but are they effective on any of them? No. No. Neither are you. Now, God does call us as Christians to engage in many issues, but it doesn't mean that you have to. As we listen to the voice of the Spirit, He'll call you to invest deeply in a few things and to do those things well and sustainably and to make a difference there. You probably drove or walked past what I think is a really great illustration of that this morning. So I want to show you a picture. Okay. This is one of the trees from the apricot orchard, you know, as you drive up the little driveway to the church. Okay. It's an older orchard. It's a mature orchard. It's an orchard that has produced over the years lots and lots and lots of fruit. I want you to notice something about the trees. You look at those branches, these big, thick trunks. Now, I don't know how many years those trees have been around. They should have asked an orchardist about this. I'm assuming it's more than 3. They've been around a while, maybe even as long as some of us here in the room. And you think about that. This is a tree. These are orchards that have been tended. These are trees that have been tended. And over the years, these trees have produced many, many branches. And almost every branch they've produced has been cut off. Almost every branch. Just a few have remained. But because many of those branches were pruned off, the remaining branches were not just branches, now they're trunks. And so when these trees bear fruit, they can carry the weight, can't they? So when the orchardist that's working that orchard just down the street, when they pray for an abundant harvest, and those trees are laden with fruit, those trees aren't going to topple because of the fruitfulness. They're going to stand strong. And they're going to be able to do that for a very, very long time. And that's because there was pruning, wasn't there? So as you see these trees, because all around, I mean, God has placed these sermon illustrations everywhere, especially around our beautiful valley. There's trees everywhere. And when you look at the trees, some of them have been pruned, and some of them haven't. And I want you to ask yourself, what kind of a tree do you want to be? Because you're one of those. Some of those trees, if they finally get a good harvest, they're going to snap under their own weight, but not those ones. Not those ones. So let's talk about remaining. We've talked about pruning. Let's talk about remaining. So verses 3 and 4. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Or in other words, you're already being pruned because of the word I've spoken to you. Now, Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That remaining is this really key thing. Anyone like the fruit tree thing, you cut off the branch, you take it home, you don't expect apricots to grow on that branch because it's been cut off from the tree. Now it's just firewood. And so are you. When we get cut off, and when I get cut off from God. So on the other side of that piece of paper, here's what I invite you to do. Is make yourself a little list. I was working on this one earlier today. So with Jesus, I am. So like, because you know when you're abiding with Christ, when you're remaining with him. Or maybe if you're on the outskirts of faith and you're trying to figure out where you are with Jesus, you just kind of imagine like what my life might be like if you know, at least with whatever you know to be true about Jesus. You go, if I was really living life with him and with his power in my heart, this is what it would be like for me. With Jesus, I am. And I'd like you to make your own list. So I'd put down words like this. With Jesus, I'm complete. I'm at peace. I'm whole. I'm fulfilled. I'm joyful. I'm more loving. I'm less stressed. I'm more patient. My kids appreciate when I have a devotional time, even whether they know I have a devotional time or not. Because when I'm walking with Jesus, I get better. And you probably know this too. And you've probably seen this too in your own life, even though for all of us, we deal with the temptations and the stresses of that becomes one of the easiest things to blow off in the day, isn't it? That time with the Lord. So whether that's time in the Bible or time in prayer, or you know, time with other Christians that can encourage one another, or to blow off worship because there's a lot going on. But you didn't today. And I hope you're glad that you did. That there's these practices and habits that help us to remain in Christ, to remember who we are in him. Your list is probably even better. So that's what it means to remain on a practical level. You know, because when you know who you are in Christ, less things rattle you. When you know your identity is in him and you're loved by him, then one snarky comment doesn't necessarily pull you so far down. One criticism at work doesn't necessarily ruin your whole day, because you know who you are in Christ. When you remember what Christ has done for you, the little setbacks don't throw you so hard. They still hurt, but they don't throw you so hard. With Jesus, I am. So let's talk about fruitful. Pruning plus remaining equals or leads to fruitful. What's it mean to be fruitful? Now, in this passage, Jesus doesn't exactly spell out what fruitfulness means. It's funny. He sort of just assumes that the disciples know. Well, I'm grateful that a little bit later in the scriptures as the early church is wrestling with it. So what does it mean to be fruitful? Like, what does it mean? Like, what characteristics do we look for to know that somebody's really been walking with the Lord, that God has really been working in their life? And so Paul writes to the church in Galatia, a church that was getting really obsessed with rules and regulations. He said, not so much about that. Look for the fruit. And he says this about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. That's kind of a fancy word for patience. That's the thing your kids long for you to have, and grandkids. And the kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are attributes that increase as a result of our time with Jesus. This is the kind of character that makes a difference. It's character that counts. It's character that can lead a lasting impact. It's character that helps you to leave a legacy and to make a difference. The fruit of the Spirit. The kind of person that you'd like to be. The kind of things that you would like to do. Fruitfulness. Now you think about it, the people in your life that you admire the most, and that may be strictly from character, that may be also from productivity, and possibly a combination of the two. So the leaders you really admire, the authors you really admire, that just think of somebody that you really admire and you go, wow, they got so much done in their life. Their life made such an impact. And you think about this, they have the same number of hours in the day as you. The very same. And so we desire, as we desire for our lives to be fruitful, to be impactful, Jesus reminds us that it's the result of his pruning, both from the Father's loving clippers, and hopefully a whole lot of our just simple responsiveness to the leading of his Spirit. It's from our remaining, because he's already faithful. He's faithful. He's never going to leave us. You know, when we wander off from the Lord, he's still there. It's us that's gone on a... It's us that's gotten lost or gone wandering. That it's pruning plus remaining is what leads to lives of real fruitfulness. So I invite you to just take a moment, just to bow your head and maybe just spend some time with the Lord on this as the worship team comes up. You know, how's God speaking to you today? Is he reminding you that maybe an area of pain in your life, there may be still yet some good that he is looking to accomplish through that? That the thing that has felt like pain wasn't necessarily punishment. It could be pruning. It could be pruning. If that's how he's talking to you, lean into that. Lean into that. He loves you more than you think. Or maybe as you spend some time with him, that you're just sensing his call to say no to a few things, to focus some things, to have a few less suckers in your life and a few more tree trunks. That there are things you need to stop doing in order to say yes to the greater things that God is calling you to. Is that what he's asking you to do today? Or maybe it's something in those habits of remaining, of those basic daily and weekly habits that help us to stay connected to our Lord, to remember who we are in him. Every one of those, the enemy wants you to give them up. He wants you to be busy. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to think they're no big deal. But as we remain in him, he is so faithful. Because we desire, I believe that you desire for your life to be truly fruitful. I know that's true for me. And it's so easy to get off track. It's so easy to let the sucker branches grow. And it's so easy to not remain. So what's he asking you to do today? And just invite you, even just under your breath, or maybe even out loud, just to do some whisper prayers to God and what he's talking to you about today. And maybe there's somebody here today that just feels like you've drifted quite a ways away. And I do, if that's you today, I want to give you an opportunity to come back. Because God is such an amazing gardener that not only does he prune, but he also grafts. And he brings branches that got disconnected, and he can reconnect them. That's what Jesus did on the cross for us. That all the ways that we disappoint God, all the ways that we sin and wander away, all of them have been paid for in full by Jesus. And so if that's you and you feel like you just need to come back to him today after an extended time away, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I would love to minister to you. Can we just make eye contact if that's you? If that's you? Okay. See ya. I see you. I see you. So congregation, let's pray together and let's minister to each other in this. And so I invite you to pray out loud. Would you do that with me? Dear God, thank you that you love me. And thank you that you desire good for my life. Lord, help me to be responsive to your pruning in my life. Thank you that through Jesus and what he did for me on the cross, that I've been forgiven, that I've been given a new identity in you. Lord, help me to remain with you. Come into my life. Fill me. Forgive me. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.